Here at Kerygma Ventures, our love for the Bible doesn't stop us from having questions about it. Quite the opposite. Our love for the Bible makes us more curious about it. Do you sometimes wonder how the message of the New Testament gives meaning to the Old Testament? Are you fascinated by how Scripture applies to your life? If you do, head over to studythebibleguide.com to get some answers. Listen, we've got a simple guide to give you. It's free, and it's packed with practical tools to help you study the Bible. That website again is studythebibleguide.com. And thanks for listening to this Kerygma Ventures podcast. God bless.
Welcome back to the Kerygma Ventures podcast. This week, we head to the ranch for Dudley Hall and Sam Down's conversation about forgiveness and trust. Sam opens the dialogue by asking, if someone has hurt us, can we both forgive them and trust them again? Forgiveness and trust don't always happen quickly, but the grace of God can empower us to both forgive and trust people who have wronged us, even those who have sinned against us. As always, we encourage you to invite your friends into the conversation.
Conversation I've been having with my wife lately about some of her own relationships or relationships she's aware of, even outside of her, is this idea of forgiveness when someone close to you has hurt you, or maybe you're coaching a friend or spouse or something like that. What are the implications of real forgiveness in like deeply traumatic situations, relationship situations? Can I forgive someone? So let's say Ben, who's filming us today, let's say Ben hurt me real bad emotionally. He said some really mean things. He committed some egregious sin toward me. Our relationship is quite affected. Can I forgive him, but never move forward in trusting him again as a friend?
The question's kind of like asking it, have you stopped cheating on your income tax? I mean, it's not as easy as yes and no. Yes, we can forgive. But to forgive is a serious thing. Because if you're forgiving, we'll use you and Ben. If you're forgiving Ben of the pain that you've done to him,
well, it was him doing it to me, to be
clear. Yeah, he's done it to you. What you're saying is, I am going to bear the consequences of what he did. So I cannot hold it against him anymore.
Okay.
If I'm going to forgive, I'm taking the consequences, and I'm enduring that pain, and I am turning him loose.
Okay.
Now, you can make the choice to do that. You can know it's right to do that, and you can make the choice to do it. And the grace of God will empower you to do it, but it doesn't always happen real quickly.
Okay.
And it should not be taken lightly. It shouldn't be like Ben walks in and goes, yeah, I'm sorry I did that. And you go, never mind, no problem. That's BS.
Yeah.
That ain't forgiveness. That is treating it like we wish it hadn't happened, and we're going to try to go back, and you never are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you don't trust again, because you never did deal with it.
I see.
But if you take forgiveness as seriously as it is, it's like I'm saying to you, I'm turning you loose. I will never think of you as the villain in this again. I am taking that on myself. That's how Jesus forgave us.
Yeah.
Okay. So it says, forgive as you've been forgiven.
Yeah.
So if you forgive that way, then you are free then to let him earn his trust back. If you don't do it that way, he can't earn his trust back because you're still holding him.
So I guess that's getting to the heart of my question. If you really forgive them, trust still needs to be reestablished.
Trust has to be reestablished because forgiveness and trust are two different things. I mean, they're related, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, trusting something that's untrustworthy is foolish.
Mm.
There's a proverb for that as well, you know. So I mean, we don't know why Ben did that. Maybe he's not even aware of a weakness that's causing him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to trust him while he doesn't even know that,
mm-hmm.
it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be harder because it's like you got two failures.
Mm-hmm.
So trust is, you know, one thing we say, okay, then maybe I wasn't watching enough on the first one. This time I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you gotta appease me. You gotta pay me back. He's not paying back.
Yeah.
But he does have to show that he's trustworthy.
Yeah.
I mean, people who've had to deal with addictions in their mm-hmm. family and whatever, you can't trust an addict.
Mm-hmm.
They lie. That's what they do.
Right.
And so they come back and go, "I'm sorry, I did it." It's like, okay, I'm willing to initiate the forgiveness deal.
Yeah.
But I don't know what caused you to start that addiction anyway, to begin with. And I need to see some help there.
Mm-hmm. So could I truly forgive Ben? Like really forgive him? Like where Jesus would come down here and say, "No, I can tell you've forgiven him." And still say, I'd still like to not be friends anymore. You know, I forgive you, but you go on and have your life and I'm going to go on and have mine. I mean, if you break down on the side of the road, I'll help you, but I don't have any interest in relationship continuing. Would that then by definition mean I haven't actually forgiven him?
I would say if you were friends before
mm-hmm.
and you were doing that, you probably haven't forgiven him.
Okay.
Just my judgment.
Yeah.
If it's just somebody you don't like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody you don't like hurt you, wouldn't be Ben.
Yeah.
If somebody that you didn't want to be friends with necessarily, he wasn't somebody God placed you in life anyway.
Yeah, okay.
You don't have to prove you've forgiven by being friendly to everybody.
That's a good point. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I feel like we're getting somewhere.
Okay, but if I'd say, if you are friends and this has happened, and he really is, you really are giving him a chance to prove and whatever. I'd say if you go out, I won't be friends with him anymore, you probably have not forgiven him.
Okay.
You're making him pay.
Okay. I wanted to get into this because I think it seems to surface itself in, you know, Christian environments, church environments where, you know, we're commanded to forgive one another. But I think you're hitting on the point is that the idea of forgiveness has in many ways been cheapened.
Yeah.
Where, you know, sin has been cheapened. You know, our friend Tolian talks about that a lot whenever people accuse him of being a proponent of cheap grace. His quick response is, well, you're a proponent of cheap law. You're not fairly recognizing the real demands of the law and the real price that was paid for your failure to uphold the law.
Yeah.
In the shed blood of Jesus, you know. So what I was saying is, an idea in Christian circles I've seen is that, well, you need to forgive and y'all need to move forward. I don't know. I do wonder if there's room and space to really forgive somebody and relationship simply not continue in the fashion that it was previously. I would like to believe that that's possible, but I also hear your point in saying forgiveness is a really deep and serious thing, and the real repercussions of forgiveness are real reconciliation and restoration.
Yeah.
So
I would say in most cases, if not all, if real forgiveness takes place and real trust is built, the relationship will be better
mm-hmm.
than it was before.
Yeah.
Not,
it will be
not less.
New. It will be a new and
a
different
new
thing.
New deal.
Yeah.
New relationship.
Right. That's good. Yeah. That's a beautiful idea to explore is what forgiveness births is like new life.
Yeah.
You know, like that is a consequence in the good way of Christ's forgiveness of us is that now new life is possible. His
right.
forgiveness didn't purchase for us being the same way we were.
Yeah.
It purchased for us new life and new birth. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah. You know, when Jesus forgave the woman, the sinful woman, and he said, "You're forgiven, go and sin no more."
Uh-huh.
He wasn't saying to her, you better watch out now, you know, don't do that again. Make your life more narrow, more suppressed.
Yeah.
No, he was saying, with this forgiveness, you got a new deal.
He was assigning new identity to
her
whenever he brought
this. And new power.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't think I'll ever have all that fully figured out. Shocker, I know, but I hear people talk about that. Like, we have some friends that are dealing with some infidelity stuff, and she wants to forgive him, and he's obviously begging for forgiveness, but there's such woundedness there that it's like, you know, how do we move forward? How do we move on? You know, if you've proven such egregious unfaithfulness to me, yeah, I forgive you, but I can't. How do you move forward? You know, again, we haven't even talked about the husband-wife expression of that. We're just talking about a couple buddies so far. But how would that express itself in a marriage?
Well,
'cause that feels like another level than just me and Ben being buddies.
Well, it is another level because you and Ben are buddies, but y'all don't have a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
With your wife, you got a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've broken that covenant, then there needs to be, you know, a kind of recognition of what damage has my sin done and the owning of that.
Yeah.
Now, that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you want people to grovel in their sin? No, I just, if you can get it to sin, you can be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get it to sin, you're not forgiven.
Yeah.
You know, this whole deal, well, you know, show them a little grace. You're not showing people grace by not dealing with the issue.
Yeah.
Like, no, you broke covenant with me.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you break covenant with me? Did you disrespect me? Yes, I disrespected you. Why did you disrespect me? Because I loved myself more than that. So you got to deal with all that kind of stuff. And then finally you can say, I forgive you for all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you don't own it, you can't experience the forgiveness, even though the grace is there, the forgiveness is available. You have to own it before you can get forgiveness.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think husbands and wives, sometimes there's so much pain. It's like, let's don't talk about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I have dear friends that, you know, he lived a wild life for a while. He was unfaithful to her several times. She never did even know how many times. And mm-hmm. finally she just came and said, look, let's just start over. I don't want to know anything you've ever done.
Mm.
We'll start over. Now, to their credit, they made it, but there were lots of rough times, lots of doubts. And,
yeah.
You know, is he going back and whatever?
Because it never got dealt with.
Yeah, so it would have been a lot better for him to say, okay, what do you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
My life's an open book.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was wrong with me that I would think that way? And why would I do that kind of stuff? And own it. And then she could say, okay, I know now.
Yeah.
And I forgive.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's hope giving to consider. Hopefully my friends can watch this. And
thank you so much for listening to the Kerygma Ventures podcast. We'd love for you to join us next week as we continue to bring you conversations and messages that challenge you to live a life of grace and freedom, developing a thriving relationship with Jesus. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you share it with someone in your life who you know would be encouraged to hear it? Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.